It's a beautiful Sabbath day, and we're so happy that we are in the house of the Lord this morning. And I see a lot of people with red on today. We've been in a study for two times now, so this is the third time that we are coming to talk about speaking in tongues. And I pray that what we have said already has had some benefit, that we have been able to share with others, and that some people have been educated as to what the real speaking in tongues is. And we pray that we will have a blessing today as we go through this final discussion of speaking in tongues. So far in our study, we have established that there were eight different passages in the Bible where the phrase speaking in tongues is used. And already we have talked about the one that is in Mark 16, verse 17. We've talked about those that we found in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. And as we did, we have established through biblical evidence that they all speak of the same gift of the Holy Spirit, which is identified by five criteria. This biblical tongue speaking is not a static utterance. It is not angelic speech. It is not glossolalia. It is not gibberish. What it is a known language spontaneously gifted by the Holy Spirit to a believer. It is meant to be spoken by the believer to overcome language barriers so that the gospel can be shared. This gift is not transient, but is permanent. Once the person is gifted with the gift of tongues, it stays with him or her for the rest of his life. Today, our focus is going to be on the final three passages in which we find speaking in tongues, and these are 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The major concentration is going to be on 1 Corinthians 14. Now, why is that so? There are those who assert that 1 Corinthians 14 differs from all of the other passages which have as its goal speaking in tongues. They concede that tongue speaking in Acts 2, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19 are all known languages, but they say that the one in 1 Corinthians 14 is different, that it is an ecstatic language. And that is what we are here today to talk about, whether there is a difference between what we see in 1 Corinthians 14 and what is in all of the other of the passages in the Bible. But before we get to chapter 14, if we are going to be true to our thesis that all the references to speaking in tongues in the Bible are the same, we must examine the passages in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to look at the first verse. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And I believe that the main theme of 1 Corinthians is presented here, or is of 1 Corinthians 13 is presented here, because he is speaking of spiritual gifts. Paul wants it to be clear that the endowments that he's going to enumerate in 1 Corinthians 12 are given by the Holy Spirit and are given for a very specific purpose. He makes this clear in Ephesians 4, verse 12, and you can turn over there with me, Ephesians 4, verse 12. He says that the specific purpose for the spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4, verse 12, he says it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, these gifts that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 are for the perpetuation of the gospel. They are for carrying the gospel to the world. Jesus had said in the passage that we talked about in Mark 16:15-17, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow you, and shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." So that we see that Jesus said that these new tongues were for the perpetuation of the gospel. It is to carry this message that he brought to the world through foreign languages. Now, we've already traced this verse, Mark 16:15-17, to Acts 2, and determined that Jesus was referring to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and that the gospel would be preached to all in all different languages. Here then, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is speaking of gifts that would perpetuate the gospel. So when he, in Acts 12, verses 10, 28, 30, talks about kinds of tongues, diversities of tongues, and speaks with tongues, he is underscoring the fact that this is but one means through which the gospel is to be given to all people. We can be satisfied that Paul, who had seen the Holy Spirit poured out on the 12 at Ephesus and had heard them speak in foreign languages, is talking here about the same gift. So in 1 Corinthians 12, when we look at speaking in tongues, we are talking about foreign languages, carrying the gospel to others through foreign languages. Quickly, let's move on to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1 that you heard Lillian read for you in the call to worship. Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and as tinkling cymbal." Whoa. Now, is Paul changing tunes and telling us that there is angelic speech and that he might have spoken it? I don't think so, and I don't think you do either. We've just seen in chapter 12 the enumeration and the place of the gift of the Spirit in the church. Now, this is but a continuation of the thought. Paul is showing that the possession of any of these gifts, the gifts that he talked about in chapter 12, does not make a person a Christian if he does not have the love of Jesus Christ in his heart. When he speaks of tongues of angels, the Greek construction shows that he is using hyperbole. That is, he is saying, even if there were an angelic tongue that I could speak, that would still not make him a Christian unless he had agape love, the kind of love that comes only from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So you can speak any kind of language that you want to, and you can have any of these gifts that you want to, but if you do not have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are not a Christian, and it is not a spiritual gift. Now, let us get to the controversial chapter 14. The question, why was the letter written to start off with? And if we understand why the letter was written, that brings us a lot. I'm talking about the entire letter of 1 Corinthians. That brings us a long way to see and understand what he is actually saying in 1 Corinthians 14 and how we are to interpret it. It is all about context, context. And we need to understand that a text without context is a pretext. And so that a chapter without context is a pretext. If we don't understand what has gone before and what comes after it, then we are left out in the cold as far as understanding is concerned. In nearly every one of the 16 chapters in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he is dealing with some controversy over the doctrine that has arisen in the church, or some abuse of the doctrine in the church at Corinth. In chapter 1, verse 10, and you can turn with me there as we read it. Chapter 1, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment." After he says this in 1 Corinthians 13, and the 1 Corinthians, he goes on in different chapters to discuss the differences or schisms that have presented themselves in the body of the church at Corinth. We know that there were divisions because some of them wanted to follow Paul, some of them wanted to follow Peter, some of them wanted to follow Apollos. There were differences because he talked about marital fidelity. He also talked to them about how to handle foods that had been presented to idols because different ones of them had different beliefs or different views. He talked about the manner and the accoutrements of prayer, how to pray and when to pray. He talked about the Lord's Supper. Of course, he talked about the spiritual gifts. All of these were things that the church at Corinth were doing that were not as Paul knew that they should be, not as Paul had been instructed by Jesus Christ to tell the churches that this is the way that you are supposed to act as Christians. Each one of these doctrines had become an issue, and groups had taken different sides of the aisle. Paul's letter was to educate the Corinthians as to the true state of affairs and encourage the brethren to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. It is in this fashion that he approaches 1 Corinthians 14 and the issue of speaking in tongues. He wanted to make absolutely sure that everyone was on the same page of this doctrine also, that they all knew what the manner and method of tongue speaking was all about. Now, we remember, don't we, that the original letter was not divided into chapters the way that we know it today. The chapters were later added by copyists so that it would be easier to find certain portions. So, if we keep this in mind, there is no break in the thought between 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We are talking here about the same thing, and all of this has to do with spiritual gifts and their positions. And now he's talking about speaking in tongues. He is saying that speaking in tongues is one of the spiritual gifts. His transition in verse 1 of chapter 14 makes it clear that he is still speaking about spiritual gifts. Look at what he says in verse 1 of chapter 14. He says, follow after charity and desire what? What do you see? Spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He says, desire spiritual gifts. This is at the beginning of chapter 14. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And where do spiritual gifts come from? They have to come from Jesus Christ. As we went back to see and look at Acts 2, that those gifts that were poured out there, that gift that was poured out there was a spiritual gift. So prefacing 1 Corinthians 14, we know that he is talking still about spiritual gifts. So what else are you going to get out of chapter 14 when he talks about speaking in tongues, other than this is the gift of the Holy Spirit? And it is not the gibberish. It is not the ecstatic speaking. It is not the glossolalia that some people say that it is. This is the true gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he devotes this entire chapter to talking about the abuses. And that's what he is here for, to talk about the abuses of the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. He is not saying that there is another kind of tongues. He's saying that you are taking this gift that God gave you to perpetuate the gospel, and you are using it in a way that is wrong. And I'm here, or I am writing this letter, to tell you how it should be done. And in order to do that, in chapter 14, in some 14 times in 40 verses, he uses the term speaking in tongues. He uses the term speaking in unknown tongues or to speak in tongues. Let me make this observation now before we go on. How many of you are using the King James Version? You're using the King James Version. All right. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14:2. The text reads, for he that speaketh in it, and those of you who do not have the King James Version can turn there also. The text in the King James Version says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Now, the proponents of glossolalia will say here, see, this is an unknown tongue, and he is speaking to God. And this is one of the references that they use to support glossolalia, to support the tongue speaking that is gibberish or ecstatic speaking. But I want those of you who do have the King James Version to look with me for a moment. Is there a difference between the way unknown is written in your Bible and the way that the other part of the text is written? Can you see that there is a difference? And what is the difference? It's italicized. Now, someone tell me, please, what it means when a word is italicized in the Bible. It is not in the original text. It is something that was supplied by the translator, but there is no support for it in the original text. So the way that those texts should read, the way that verse 4, verse 13, verse 14, verse 19, and verse 27 should read, just speak in tongues rather than speak in unknown tongues, because that word unknown was supplied. It should not be in the text. If these verses are read properly, as I said, it would be speaking in tongues, not unknown tongues. Now, some of the newer translations, some of the translations that you have, others of you have, simply omit the word unknown. If you have the New King James Version, if you have the New American Standard Version, if you have the Revised Standard Version, the word unknown is not in the text. Can someone who has a different translation read verse 2 of chapter 14 for us?
Even if he speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mystery.
All right, and what translation do you have?
It is written, study edition, New King James.
New King James. And what do you have, Suzanne?
The New International.
New International. Would you read what the New International says?
Verse 2. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God.
All right. The New International will say tongues. The New English New English Bible will say speech. The Jerusalem Bible will say the gift of tongues. The Everyday Version, which is a paraphrase, says strange. But the New Revised Version says languages. So we have evidence that unknown was not used in the text. 14:2 also says that the speaker is talking to God when he uses prayer, or when he uses this tongue. Notre Père qui es aux cieux, que ton nom soit sanctifié, que ton règne vienne. Que ta volée soit faite sur la terre comme au ciel. Donne-nous aujourd'hui notre pain de ce jour. Pardonne-nous nos offenses, comme nos offenses aussi et ceux qui nous ont offensés. Et ne nous soumets pas à la tentation, mais délivre-nous du mal, car c'est à toi que appartenait le règne, les puissances, et la gloire pour les siècles des siècles. Amen. My pronunciation might be a little bit off, but if I were speaking in a known language, and I was reading in a known language, would you have understood what I was saying? You would. Okay. And this is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, that, yes, you are speaking a foreign language, but you are speaking it in the church where your brethren do not understand what you are saying. So you might as well be speaking to God, because nobody there understands what you are saying. And by the way, I was reading the Lord's Prayer in French, and pardon my French, Grant. But before we wander too far astray, we want to show that this speaking in tongues is in 1 Corinthians fits the Acts 2 model that we have gone over. And we talked about 5 characteristics of that Acts 2 model. Let's see if we can apply those to 1 Corinthians 14, to make sure that this gift in 1 Corinthians 14 is the same gift that we find in Acts 2. Two of the characteristics of the Acts 2 model of tongues, of speaking in tongues, is that it is a known language spontaneously gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have shown by the continuity of chapters 12, 13, and 14 that Paul is discussing spiritual gifts. And so this tongues must be the one that was given by the Holy Spirit, as it was in Acts 2. Remember, we said that there was no division, and we started in chapter 12 talking about spiritual gifts, and there's the continuity between chapters 12, 13, and now into 14. And at the beginning of chapter 14, he says that he is still talking about spiritual gifts. So he is talking about that spiritual gift that has been endowed to those who are in the church at Corinth. Paul also says that, the third model for the speaking in tongues is that it is to be spoken by the believer to overcome a language barrier. Paul chastises the Corinthian believers because they are using the spiritual gift of tongues inappropriately. Instead of speaking to unbelievers who are outside of the church, who have this same language, they are speaking where? In the church, to people who don't understand what they are saying. Because most of those who were in the church would have been speaking Aramaic, or they would have been speaking Hebrew, and they would not have understood these foreign languages. So this is what Paul is saying. He is chastising. But the proponents of the gibberish, or the glossolalia, will say that these are ecstatic, this is ecstatic speech that is being spoken, and that is why it needs an interpreter. But the reason it needs an interpreter is because those people who are in the church can't understand the foreign language that is being spoken. So that is why the interpreter is necessary. In 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19, Paul writes, I thank God, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all, because Paul was fluent in foreign languages. And again, this just shows that we are talking about a known language, because he says he speaks in tongues more than any of the rest of you. Paul was an educated man, and he had been taught these other languages. It had not been spontaneously given to him. But he says, I speak more languages than you do. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Paul is making it absolutely clear that he is talking about known languages and not some ecstatic gibberish, and that the Corinthian believers should be using their foreign language skills to make known to unbelievers the joy of the gospel through Jesus Christ. Now, a fourth characteristic of the Acts 2 model is that it is for the spreading of the gospel. Paul continues in his chastising mode in 1 Corinthians 14, 22-23. When he writes, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. It's like going back and forth. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one that is unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Can you just imagine some unbeliever or some unlearned walk in the Corinthian church, and all of these different people are speaking in the foreign languages that they know? And these people, what's going on here? These people must be crazy. So Paul is saying that you are abusing the spiritual gift that God has given you, because what is the point of speaking in tongues if someone is not going to be edified or taught the gospel, since the purpose of this spiritual gift is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, him born, having lived, died, and been resurrected for all mankind of every nation, people, and tongue. A fifth facet of the Acts 2 model is that tongues is a permanent gift, that the recipient, once gifted, will always be able to speak that particular language. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14 states, how is it then, brethren, that when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, and so forth? These Corinthian believers had been gifted with foreign languages, and the gift was ongoing. Paul again accuses them of not using it in the proper manner, that is, to edify. It seems that they wanted their brethren to know that they had the gift. They were showing off a little bit. You know, God has gifted me with this foreign tongue, and I want you to know that I have this foreign tongue. So when we come together, I'm going to speak this tongue. But they were not willing to put in the time and the effort into going out into the highways and the byways and speaking with those unbelievers who could have benefited from hearing the gospel in their own tongues. I was listening this morning to our radio station, and thank you, Vince and Brian, for spearheading this and giving us the opportunity to have the radio station. And they were talking about Adventist World Radio. And one of the things that they said was that some one person had heard one of the programs presented on Adventist World Radio. And he had invited some other person to come and listen with him on the radio. And of course, this is in their native tongue, wherever it is in the foreign language that they can understand. And from that one person having invited another person, some 200 people were eventually baptized because they heard the gospel in their own language. This is what Paul is talking about. This is what real speaking in tongues is. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given or is gifted so that people can share the gospel through the foreign language. Notice that nowhere in this chapter, and if you read the chapter carefully, Paul does not rule out the use of speaking in tongues. He understood that foreign languages were necessary to reach unbelievers scattered throughout the Roman world of his day, just as it is important today to be able to share with others the gospel in different languages. Without the use of this gift, the work of the gospel would have been hindered. In 1 Corinthians 14, he lays down rules for the proper use of the gift and is not endorsing gibberish or ecstatic speech. In 1 Corinthians follows the Acts 2 model, where we see a language barrier that needs to be overcome. Bible tongues are foreign languages making direct communication between speaker and hearer possible. In Scripture, the same language is known both to speaker and hearer. In Acts and Corinthians, the gospel is communicated between speaker and hearer and edifies the biblical truth. In the Bible, the gift of a tongue reveals a permanent language. The question with which we began is tongue speaking in 1 Corinthians the same as in Acts 2? And my conclusion is yes. There are not two different kinds of tongue speaking in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is simply addressing the abuses and the licenses which the church was taking with this special gift. Now we need to be very careful. Each of us has been given a spiritual gift. Some have more than the one spiritual gift. And we need to be careful that in our effort to win souls, that we do not become overzealous as the Corinthians were, and abuse the gifts that have been given to us, and therefore cause some kind of disgrace to come upon the church. Because you know that there are people who are watching us. They are looking to see what we say and what we do and how we do it. And we have the truth. So we have to be very careful how we use the spiritual gifts that we have and be true to what God says in His Word. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have endowed us as Christians with a spiritual gift. And we thank You that You have given to some the gift of speaking in tongues. And we thank You that we understand that this speaking in tongues is a known language and that it is used to perpetuate the gospel. Lord, let us be careful as we deal with our sisters and brothers in other denominations and in other faiths who believe that the gibberish that they are uttering comes from You. And let us be able to use the Bible to show them that this is not from You, that this is from another spirit, and that they need to be careful how they follow this other spirit. And help us to use those gifts that we have to edify those with whom we come in contact. And to You be the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.